Good evening and greetings in Christ's precious name this evening. Thinking about vision, thinking about a new year, thinking about future. What's your vision? What are you planning to do this coming year? What do you want your life to be? What do you want people to say about you? What do you want people to say about you after you're gone? What kind of legacy do you want to leave for your life? You're not going to ride on anybody else's vision. You're not going to get anywhere on anybody else's vision. It needs to be your own. It needs to be personal. Our vision for the future. And as you get a personal vision, it becomes, as we all get a personal vision for what God wants, it becomes a group vision for what God wants for this group and what God wants to see. I too enjoyed the testimony time this morning and hearing New Year's resolutions, New Year's, what we want to, and I think that's a great thing. But as was mentioned in the devotions, so many times it's where it stops. It dies right there and goes nowhere. Turn your Bibles to Proverbs 29. Proverb writer has many things to say. Quick, short, snap instructions for us today that are have great power. 29 verse 18. It says, where there is no vision, the people perish. But he that keepeth the law, happy is he. Where there is no vision, the people perish. Period. Without a vision, there's death. Spiritual death. Without a vision, there's no progress. Any given business today has a vision. It knows where it's headed. It knows what it wants to proceed in finances, in work, in you name it. And if not, it's not much of a business usually. A church with no vision isn't much of a church. A church with no focus doesn't really get anywhere. We all have dreams. We all have aspirations. We all want to get somewhere in life. We all want to be a progress. We all want to be well thought of. We all want to be strong. Dreams in life is what drives us. It's what pushes us on. It's what aspirations is what gives us the next step in your business, in your farm, whatever it is. A dream is what gets you to the next step. It's what gets you one step closer to the goal you set. It's the same in our church. The dream of becoming more like God, the aspiration to become more like our Savior, will get us one step closer to our goal of heaven. In the couple of different versions here of Proverbs 29:18, it says, where there is no vision, the people are unrestrained, but happy is he who keeps the law. The NIV says, where there is no revelation, the people cast off restraint, but blessed is he who keepeth the law. I like to look at a number of aspects of vision. First of all, what is vision? And then why do we need vision? And then our vision. What needs to be our vision? What are we talking about? Yeah, we're talking about where we want to head, but what is vision? Just what do we mean by it? To the world looking on to the Christian, he's aimlessly going down a road with no direction. The Christian doesn't make sense. Duke Ellington, it was a musician, composer, and a renowned band leader, was once asked to provide a definition of rhythm. He responded, "If you got it, you don't need no definition. And if you don't have it, there's no definition that will help you." It's about the way it works. If you got it, you don't need no definition of vision. But if you don't have it, it don't make sense. And no definition is going to help you to get it. Someone defined vision as foresight with insight based on hindsight. It took me a little bit to get a hold of that. But it's foresight, looking ahead, and knowledge, insight, learning from the past, from hindsight. Failure is a great teacher. Experience is a great teacher. Rick Warren says, "Vision is the ability to see the opportunities within your current circumstances." Vision is the ability to see the opportunities in your current circumstances. We need to be able to see the opportunities in our current circumstance. And you know how hard that is? It's easy in an easy circumstance, but it's really hard in a hard circumstance. When things don't make sense, when life seems upside down, it's hard to look further than right ahead. We need to be able to see what God is doing right here in our own circumstances and move in tune with God's agenda. Move in tune with God's plan. We get much further ahead when we join God in His work instead of trying to join Him in our work. It works much better. The definition of vision is the faculty of sight, unusual foresight, a mental image produced by imagination, the experience of supernatural as if with the eyes. Vision. The faculty of sight. Being able to look ahead. Being able to put together a plan. John Maxwell said it this way. He said, "Vision is awareness, the ability to see. Attitude, the faith to believe. Action, the courage to do." It gives us vision in our Christian lives, gives us the ability to see and be aware of enemy territory. It gives us the ability to find and locate the enemy's battlegrounds and his target on you. It also There's a certain amount of vision in God that we just simply need to believe. We need to believe by faith, attitude, and the action. If we're going to have vision, and if we're going to get somewhere, then there needs to be action. Vision has to be included with action, or it will get us nowhere. We can make all kinds of We can fill sheets of paper with things we want to get done, but really, if we don't do anything about it, it's simply a sheet of paper with writing on it. It will get you nowhere. A couple things we need to understand about vision is that vision comes from God. God gives us vision to guide and direct us. Turn to Acts chapter 9. Acts chapter 9, verse 8 to 15. God many, many times in the Bible spoke to people by vision. And this is the story here of Saul, of Paul, when he was struck down on the road to Damascus to destroy the people of God. Breaking in at verse 8, after Saul was struck down and God spoke to him, Saul arose from the earth, and when his eyes were opened, he saw no man. But they led him by the hand and brought him into Damascus. And he was 3 days without sight, and neither did eat nor drink. And there was a certain disciple at Damascus named Ananias. And to him said the Lord in a vision, Ananias. And he said, Behold, I am here, Lord. And the Lord said unto him, Arise and go into the streets, which is called Straight, and inquire at the house of Judas for one called Saul of Tarsus, for behold, he prayeth, and hath seen in a vision a man named Ananias coming in and putting his hand on him, that he might receive his sight. Then Ananias answered, Lord, I have heard by many this man, how much evil he hath done to thy saints at Jerusalem. For he hath the authority from the chief priests to bind all that call on thy name. But the Lord said unto him, Go thy way. Here God spoke to Saul and also Ananias in a vision, and bringing them together, God reveals his plan to us through vision. If we do not seek God, then he has no way to reveal to us his plan. God don't simply drop his plan into your lap if you're not going to seek him. You yourself have to put forth effort to do it. God opens hearts and minds by people who have a vision, who are pressing forward, people who are finding him. We need to let God into our hearts and let him open our hearts to greater possibilities, greater ways. God gives us vision to show us our true potential. When we have a vision, when we have a goal, when we have something in place, it gives us something to aim for. It gives us something to strive for in our Christian lives. Whether it's to be a better Christian, I encourage us tonight that we are people with vision. What are your goals? Do you know what your goals are? Do you know where you're headed? Do you know where you want to end up? Yeah, we all know we want to end up in heaven, but how are you going to get there? What steps are you going to take to get there? A vision for God can take us to new levels in our lives. It allows us to see things that otherwise would go unseen. Another thing about vision is God's vision is always possible. God's vision is always possible. Matthew 10:27. What I tell you in darkness, that ye speak in the light, and what ye hear in the ear, preach ye also upon the housetops. Not the verse I wanted. But all things are possible through Christ. Vision tonight takes us to endless possibilities. The power of God has no limits. There is no impossibility in God's vocabulary. Turn to Romans chapter 7. Vision comes from our past. How many of us tonight have failure in our past that we have made determinations that we are going another direction. That failure is not going to happen. Whether it's sin, whatever it is, failure in your past gives you a determination determination for the future. Nothing prepares us for the future like experience. The person that's ahead or always gets ahead isn't like he never fails. It's what he does with his failure. In Romans chapter 7, verse 14 to 25, we won't really read all that. We'll read 24 and 25. "Well, wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then, with the mind, I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh, the law of sin." Paul here realized his potential to fall. He realized his potential to fail. And that is so critical. Failure teaches us what not to do. He knew his weakness. We need to know our weaknesses. Failure needs to be to reach far beyond. Vision tonight needs to reach far beyond our failures. Vision needs to focus on the future. If it's vision, we're talking about something that is focusing on the future. One person put it this way. He said, "There's no such thing as vision that moves in reverse." Were you ever behind some slow vehicle? And we used to always say in our house, "We're going so slow that we're almost going backwards." All right? You're frustrated because you can't get somewhere. There's no such thing as vision that moves in reverse. Sometimes it feels like someone's going so slow. And possibly is. In their vision. And vision only moves forward. The other thing that vision does is it helps us to mark and measure our success. If you don't have a goal, if you don't know where you're headed, if you don't know what you want, then you have no level to gauge your success. You have no level to tell whether you're growing in your Christian experience or not. Vision gives us the drive to push when personal desire is to quit. When vision just simply isn't working out, when our goals simply are going to nothing, when things seem to be falling apart, you just feel like quitting. You just feel like stopping right there. Let's just call it quits. Let's start over. Vision gives us the ability to grow and dream great dreams and keep on going, keep pushing on. People with vision are attractive. You ever watch somebody that's out on fire for something? They're just vibrating with intensity. They're vibrating with desire. They're vibrating with... they are ready to make something happen. People with vision. Those kind of people get somewhere. Their vision, whether it's in business, whether it's in church life, whatever it is, someone who is focused on his goal and who is determined to get there, are very attractive people. True vision becomes a part of who we are. Vision can never be taken away from you unless you allow it. As mentioned earlier, without vision, there's no way to check our success. There's no check and balance system without vision, without purpose. One writer said it this way. He said, "Dissatisfaction and discouragement are not caused by absence of things, but absence of vision." Absence of vision. I'm sure we all know in our lives, discouraged people, dissatisfied people, people that are grumpy, they're sad. Many, many times, it's because of a lack of vision to see beyond themselves, to see a greater God. That's much greater than themselves, and much greater than them circumstances, their circumstances, and anything they have to face. Vision is personal in nature. With a church full of people with no personal vision, you have a church full of people with no church vision. As we talked about earlier, if we don't have vision, then the church isn't going to have vision. You're not going to have... That brings us to the second point, the need for vision. Why do we need vision? We talked about that some. And we talked about in our text in Proverbs 29:18. It becomes pretty clear what happens to people that lack vision. The NIV says, "When revelation from God is infrequent, the people perish. They cast off restraint." We have Moses, a man of God, a man of great vision, leading the people of Israel. Many, many, many people out of Egypt through the Red Sea experiences talked about this morning. And on in their journey into the wilderness. But you know, when Moses went up into the mountain to talk to God, the Israelites started casting off restraint. They started casting off. They began to make a golden calf. They began to worship other gods. They began to leave their God. Why? They were lacking vision. They were lacking a relationship, a proper relationship with God. And the same thing happens to people today with no vision. Which means they're going down a road that leads nowhere. They're just going down the road with no concept of the picture of where they want to end up. None of us got in our vehicles tonight and just started aimlessly driving down the road. Going nowhere in particular, just driving down the road. Some people live their lives like that. They simply go through life aimlessly, turning down different roads, doing different things, trying different ways. And they have nothing, and they're good, nice people, but they have no direction. They have no vision for where they want to go. They have no vision for their spiritual life. And it's sad to say that many churches today simply cast off restraint, cast off vision, purpose. Their purpose is to satisfy the present. And present isn't vision. Present without future is just simply present. Present with the future in sight, learning from the past. His vision. Whenever people don't base their lives on God's revelation, they cast off restraint. They do what's right in their own eyes. They set their own goals. They arrange their agendas and then pray to God. Turn to James chapter 4. James chapter 4, beginning at verse 13. Go to now, ye that say, today or tomorrow we will go into such a city, and continue there a year, and buy and sell, and get gain. Whereas ye know not what ye shall be on the morrow, for what is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time, and then vanisheth away. For that ye ought to say, if the Lord will, we shall live and do this or that. If the Lord will. Many, many people today, and many times myself, we do what's right. We do what we think in our own eyes. We get everything prepared. We set our agendas. We do everything right. And then we say, now God, come bless us. Here's what we want to do. Why don't you come on over here and bless this work? And then we wonder why it falls apart. We wonder why it don't work out. We wonder why things seem to go sour. Relationships turn upside down. Accountabilities go backwards. Why? Because we get it. We set it all up, and then we ask God to bless it. And it's all backwards from what God teaches. It's so important that we have vision. We need vision. God has a purpose and plan for every single individual, for every single church upon the face of the world. He has a plan. Whether it is followed or not is beside the point. God has a plan for every single person. And unless we follow it, there's no. It's an end in itself. Why we need vision, number one, is because God commands it. Turn to Matthew chapter 28. Matthew chapter 28, the last three verses. And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen. Vision. God commands it. Number two, to give us vision is to give us direction and purpose. You don't need to ask God what you need to do as much as how you need to go about it. How we're supposed to go about His plan for our lives, to reveal to us His plan. God does not intend that our vision become grievous to us tonight. He doesn't intend it to be this heavy thing that hangs over you and it's just punching you on and it's just keeping you in line. It's not this blanket that's about smothering you. That's not vision. Vision is something that's enjoyable. It's something that inspires you. It's something that sends you on, not in almost falling over, but with inspiration, with fire, to move on. Second Peter 3, verse 9 says, the Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but long-suffering and usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Not willing that any should walk in sickness, that any should live under the curse, any remain under the bondage. Another thing I'd like to notice is that we need to trust God, not ourselves. It's easy to trust our own judgment because our own judgment makes sense. It's easy to rely on our own strength because our own strength makes sense. One of the hardest things to do is simply give it to God that we're not exactly sure what He's going to do. Hand it over to a God that we need to have faith that He's doing what He's doing for the good of our lives. What seems impossible to you is possible with God. And that is one of the hardest things to see when the impossibilities are facing us face to face. Luke 18:27, the verse I wanted earlier, and he said, The things which are impossible with men are possible with God. Our vision tonight needs to line up with God's vision. Our vision needs to be what God's vision is. Psalms 37:25 says, I have been young and now am old, yet have I not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread. God has the good in mind for every individual, for every single person. Philippians 4 verse 19 says, but my God shall supply all your needs according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Mark 9:23 says, Jesus said unto him, if thou canst believe, all things are possible to him that believeth. Lastly, is our vision. Where there is no vision, the people perish. If we're going to have vision, we need to have focus, we need to have purpose, and we need to have drive in us. We need to have a desire to know God. We need to have a desire to face forward, to move on in the toughest situation, in the toughest time, and simply trust God. Trust God to take up His part. Trust God to do the impossible. Trust God to do what you can't do. We are not here to merely exist. Seems like our society today has the idea that we're just here to please ourselves, to do what I want, to get where I want to go, to accomplish my goal, to accomplish what we want. We must be focused on the vision God has for our church. We must be focused on the vision God has for our fellowship, for us. So what's God calling us to do? What has God called us to do for His kingdom? And that's Matthew 28 here. Those verses we just read, we'd like to look at them a little more closely here and notice some things in these scriptures here. What we are to do. Verse 19 says, go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost. Three things. Go, teach, and baptize. I'd like to look at those here. Because if our vision is going to get somewhere, if our vision is going to have focus, if it's going to get us to heaven, then it's going to have to align with God's vision. Whether it's the vision of your business, whether it's the vision of your farm, whether it's the vision, it's got to align with what God's vision is
for you.
So what got to align with what God's vision is for the whole world tonight? And that comes out in 2 Peter chapter 3, 9 that we read earlier. It says, "The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is longsuffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance." If your vision is nothing short of saving souls, then you have a wrong vision. Because that's God's vision. He's not willing that any one of us here tonight, nor anyone in this entire world, is going to perish. And if our goals for whatever it is, it's going to chop into that vision, we're required to make a living tonight. But how much of a living? Living for luxurious lives or a living for God? If it's going to chop into that, then I question we have a right vision in mind. Our calling from God is to go forth into all the world to be witnesses for him, to tell the world about him, to make disciples that will follow him and learn about him. And that can be fleshed out in so many ways. There are missions around the world who are trying to accomplish that vision. What are we doing about that vision? Is that our vision? Are you talking to your neighbors? And I have to say, I'm only talking to myself, because it's so easy tonight to be quiet when you should be talking. And the other way around sometimes. It's so easy to talk when you should be quiet. How are we accomplishing? What's our lives? How is our lives lining up with that vision? I'd like to look at three areas about that. God's calling must take priority. It has to take priority. All things must fall behind that. God has called us to make disciples. It will mean sacrifice. You go through Scripture and you look at the life of Abraham. You look at the life of Moses, David, many of God's people. The sacrifice that they had to make because of their following God. Paul is another one. Simply, Stephen, stoned to death because of his love for God. Look at verse 18. The last part of that verse says, "All power is given unto me in heaven and on earth." We need to realize tonight where this command comes from. Who this command comes from. It is coming from the one who has been given all authority. It's coming from the one who has been given all authority over heaven and earth. All authority. That all word is everything. He is delegating to us, verse 18, what we need to do in our lives. His commands are not suggestions. God's commands are not suggestions. You know, there's many churches and many Christians that live that way. They live as though God's commands are just suggestions. You can pull this and you can throw that. You can do what you want here, but not over here. Twist the scripture to make it say what you want to say. But we are called to make disciples. We are his witnesses, his followers. And we are to submit ourselves under his hand. One writer said it this way: we are called to make, baptize, and teach disciples so that they can begin to make, baptize, and teach other disciples, and the cycle continues. See how that works? We are commanded to go out and save souls, and as those people go out and save souls, and as it goes on and on and on, the kingdom of God grows. And there's progress in the kingdom of God when his people get that vision for themselves. It's not a request. It's a command. It's not an option. When it is not priority in our lives, what we are saying to God is, "You're not important. Your commands mean nothing to me. What I want is much more important to me than what you have and what you want." We're really telling God that I don't really need what you got. I got something better. I got it put together just a little bit better. A little better idea. It should be our purpose and our goal to save souls. Number two, God's calling is an active calling. It's something we need to do something about. Pursue. We talked about that earlier, but we need to seek it out. We need to... How much are you pressing on to tell people about Jesus? How much are you involving yourselves in conversations about God? Are you fitting your life into his plan, or are you trying to fit God into your plan? Are you trying to take your vision of how you think it to be and ask God to bless it? Are you taking God's vision and his blessing? It's a calling from God to every one of us here tonight. Looking more closely at those three words. First word is go. The Greek word used here is poriahou. And this word is implied not just directionality, but intention. Go. It's all about the journey, not just the destination. I get the idea of moving forward with intention, with you know where you're going, with confidence. We need to move forward. We are given this command here, and it takes confidence. It takes assurance moving forward. If you're always going to stand in the background and run on everybody else's visions, everybody else's goals, we're going to end up not getting somewhere. We're going to end up with much frustration in our own lives. Frustration at yourself, frustration at everybody else, frustration at God. We also are to teach, which means to train another, to shape them, to mold them, and simply in this case, into the image of God. Tonight we are commanded to go out and teach people Jesus Christ. Go with purpose, go with power, go with confidence, and tell the world about Jesus. We also are commanded to baptize them, bringing souls into the kingdom, into the saving power of Jesus Christ, into a relationship with Jesus Christ. All three of these words are commands and require a great deal of believers. They are actions that must be carried out. Action words that must be taken forward. They are not suggestions, but they are commissioned commands that should be direct every life. They are commissioned commands that should direct every life. Service to our Savior must be priority. It must be what our first focus is, where do you go first in your life? What's the top on your agenda? Is it your work life? Is it your church life? Is it some relationship? What is it that's the first in your life? Or is it God? In Matthew, God talks, unless a man puts away all that he hath, and only God, he cannot be my disciple. It has to be a priority. Number three, God's calling is a work of God, not us. And this many times becomes confused in our lives. The end of verse 20. Actually, we'll just read verse 20. Teach them to observe all things whatsoever I've commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the ends of the world. This work is not our work, but God's work. And in God's work, he provides what is needed to do the job. In God's work, he provides everything that you need. And not only that, he goes with you. He goes with you. Imagine a God that looks from heaven and sees the whole universe as simply a globe. He watches every person. And yet it's beyond even a globe. He watches every person. He watches the sea, the waves, the land. He watches the tsunami take out a whole village. He sits up there and he watches everything. And he says he's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. The power is his. He has been given all power, but he has promised to be with us. He has called us to do his work. He has called us to be servants that are on fire for him, that are moving forward with purpose, with desire, with focus, with goal for a heavenly kingdom. The fact is, we will fail. Our vision, the vision you come up with, won't always get you where you want to go. You won't always hit the nail on the head, as it said. That's the facts. But what you do with your failure is what's going to slightly determine where you're going to end up. It's about, life is about your personal journey alone with God. Philippians 1:6 says, "Being confident of this very thing, that he that hath begun a good work in you will perform it unto the day of Jesus Christ." When God begins a work in us, it is his full desire to complete that work so we can rest assured that he will not leave us and that he will equip us for the work he has called us to accomplish. He will equip us. He will give you what you need to accomplish the work he has called you to do. God has placed us all in this world for the same one reason, to glorify him. He has placed us all in this world to simply bring glory to himself. And one day, he'll take us home to heaven. God doesn't have any room for inactive Christians, if you can call them Christians. It's easy to be inactive. We have churchfuls of people in our society that are simply inactive. They do all kinds of things, but it's not God. We need to forget ourselves and focus on what God has given us to do. We need to get our focus off our plan, our purpose, our idea, and put it on God. The vision for our church tonight needs to be focused on our calling in Christ. The calling to save souls. Jesus was an example many, many times in his life. And I'd like to just look at a couple of them. Turn to Matthew chapter 8. Matthew chapter 8, 28 to 31. "And when he was come to the other side in the country of Gennesaret, there met him two possessed with devils, coming out of the tombs, exceeding fierce, so that no man might pass by that way. And behold, they cried out, saying, What have we to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of God? Art thou come hither to torment us before the time? And there was a good way, off, them that hurt them a herd of many swine feeding. So the devils besought him, saying, If thou cast us out, suffer us to go away into the herd of swine." We know the rest of the story there. Turn over to Matthew chapter 9, one page, to 1 and 2. "And he entered into a ship and passed over and came into his own city. And behold, they brought him to him a sick man of palsy, lying on a bed. And Jesus, seeing their faith, said unto the sick of palsy, Son, be of good cheer, thy sins be forgiven thee." And down in verse 9 and 10, "And Jesus passed forth. From thence forth he saw a man named Matthew sitting at the receipt of customs. And he said unto him, Follow me. And he arose and followed him. And it came to pass as Jesus sat at meat in his house, behold, many publicans and sinners came and sat down with him and his disciples." And we have many other stories of Jesus going into homes. Zacchaeus was another one. And reaching the needs of people. Reaching the needs of people. That's one thing that shines forth in every single story of Jesus. And all three of these commands touch on that very thing. Jesus didn't come to save the Pharisee that had it all together. He came to save the person, the sinner, the needy one. The one that said, I have needs. Not the one that said, I have it together. Two things about our vision. Our vision should be to have a house of God to honor Him. Number two, our vision should hold out hope to a hell-bound world. Our vision should first be to have our own lives right, to have a house of purity that honors God, and second of all, to hold out hope. Because really, if it's not right in here, then it's not going to be right going out. Our vision should be God's vision to save every soul, that not willing that not anybody should perish. We need to focus on that vision. We need to be as Isaac in the Sunday school lesson. And that verse that Myron brought out, how, actually, I'll just get turned back here. Genesis 26, in closing. Genesis 26, verse 25. And he built an altar there and called upon the name of the Lord and pitched his tent, and there Isaac's servants digged a well. Three things. He built an altar. He sought the Lord, and he called upon the name of the Lord, and he pitched his tent. Had it been different, would have the outcome been different? If we're going to find God's vision, that needs to be the order of our lives. In any given business, in any given goal of our lives, needs to first rally around God. Needs to first rally around God's plan, God's purpose, and then go forth and proceed. Because if we don't have God in it, if God's not in the picture, then there's probably not a lot else that's going to do much good. May the Lord bless us as we seek His vision. Let's pray.